Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. Can everybody hear me okay? That's fine. Just a few intimations this morning before Stephen leads us in worship this morning. Thank you to the Guild. Last week I received a cheque from the Guild to the church for £2,000. So a big thank you to all the work that they've done and the donation to help with all the activities and things that we do in Forth Church. So thank you very much. As you'll see, it's the Easter holiday still, so our kids are not with us today. Another couple of things. The shop starts tomorrow. Monday. I've lost track of my days. The shop starts tomorrow. Now, I think there's loads of bargains to be had because we can't take any more stuff. It's full, I'm told. So if you've got a spare minute, pop down. The cafe will be open tomorrow and Wednesday. It's on today, the cafe, but it's open tomorrow and Wednesday as well. So plenty of bargains and a blether and a cup of tea as well into the bargain. We have a session meeting on Wednesday evening at 6:30. And the joint session is the following week, the 21st, in our hall as well. We're still collecting the candles and the empty cans and stuff for Ukraine, and any of the glasses as well. And just to remind, or I don't know if I've actually told you this, but next week we're having a double special baptism in church. So we're hoping for a good turnout to support Mark and Neil as they get baptised next Sunday as part of the worship. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks Margaret. We're still waiting for the weather to warm up. Don't know how long that's going to be. But we give you a warm welcome here this morning. We're going to say together words from Psalm 16 in our call to worship. And if you join with me in saying the words in bold. Okay. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me.
Thank you.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. You make known to me the path of life. And then we're going to sing together hymn number 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne.
Thank you.
Let's come before God in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you in worship on this second Sunday of Easter with thankful hearts. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and went to the realm of the dead, but he conquered death and hell and brought life and hope to all who believe in him. We rejoice that on the third day he rose from the dead, and today we serve a risen Saviour. We confess that we have sinned and fallen short of your standards and are unworthy of Jesus' sacrifice. But we praise you, God, for lavishing your unmerited grace upon us through faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you promise to forgive all who truly repent. And we come before you today trusting in the efficacy of Christ's perfect sacrifice for us. Forgiving God, accept our worship today as unworthy servants and help us by your Spirit in our journey as we seek to serve and follow Jesus, who is now King of Kings. The call it for the day, Almighty and Eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt. May we who have not seen have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Hear us as we pray together with the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We don't have our young people this week, but we're going to have another song. If you know it, sing along, but it'll be coming up on the screen. And it's produced by Hillsong Worship. Thank you.
stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in.
Forever to the King of Kings. We're going now to have our Bible readings, and Neil's going to come and read for us.
First reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Thanks, Neil. We're going to sing another hymn, How Often We, Like Thomas, Need Proof Before We Trust. But you recognise the tune, I'm sure. We'll stand to sing. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Now, on this second Sunday of Easter, we are reminded that we serve a risen and a resurrected Christ. We have sung of Christ's victory over sin and death, and now he is King of Kings and crowned with many crowns. In our call to worship today, we were reminded that David prophesied about Jesus' resurrection in Psalm 16, in that God would not abandon him to the realm of the dead. And Peter quotes that passage in Acts when he speaks to the people. The Bible readings today remind us that Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, after he had been raised from the dead. He came into a locked room. I don't know how he got in there, but he just walked through the walls or whatever. He appeared anyway. And it was a frightened group of people standing there. But the Bible readings remind us that Jesus appeared after his resurrection, and other texts tell us that he was seen by over 500 people before he ascended to heaven. So lots of people saw Jesus alive. Today we are thinking of Jesus' meeting with Thomas when he appeared in this locked room to his disciples for the second time, where we are told that the disciples were hiding for fear of the Jewish rulers. Very traumatic time for them all, I'm sure. And the words of hymn 432 that we just sung reflects the way a lot of us feel about what we want to pray for and how we feel about our faith. Usually when people speak or preach about Thomas, it's usually under the title Doubting Thomas. However, I feel that title is rather flippant, and the truth of his faith is much more complicated, because it is quite common to have questions about your faith. And maybe many of us have more in common with Thomas than we like to admit. We are told that the name Thomas in Aramaic means twin, and his other name, Didymus, in Greek means twin. So he was known as the twin. But it seems as though his twin was no longer around. Thomas was a fisherman who was appointed as an apostle by Jesus as one of the 12. He traveled with Jesus as he carried out his ministry, believing in Jesus and witnessing all the miracles. He got to know Jesus as leader, teacher, miracle worker, savior, and king. Thomas wasn't very different from the other disciples, but he wasn't actually there when Jesus first appeared to the group of frightened disciples in the locked room. Jesus came to them and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He showed them the wounds of the cross on his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed to see him. But I wonder how many of them would have wanted to see the marks on Jesus' hands and side if they had missed that visit. The Bible doesn't tell us who else doubted. But it does tell us that the woman at the tomb, they ran to tell the disciples that they had seen the Lord when he rose from the dead. But the disciples didn't believe him. And when Jesus was arrested, the Bible says that the disciples all forsook him and fled. Then we find that Peter denied that he knew Jesus, and Thomas insisted on touching Jesus' hands and side before he believed. So the other disciples couldn't really point the finger at Thomas when their own actions also fell below standard. However, when Jesus appeared again to the disciples, he didn't talk about their failings. He reached out to Thomas, as he did later on to Peter, saying, "Come and touch my hands and my side. Stop doubting and believe." He didn't mean to alienate them, but to bring them back to himself. Thomas had expressed his doubts, but his response when he saw Jesus was to proclaim him my Lord and my God. Thomas was changed from that meeting with the resurrected Jesus. And like most of the other apostles, he became a missionary, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are told that Thomas later travelled east and founded 7 churches in India. And like most of the disciples, he was martyred on the 21st December AD 72. While in prayer near Madras, he was speared to death. And then he was buried in Mylapore. And then later on, as with a lot of them, his remains were removed to the cathedral of St. Tommaso Apostolo, Ortona, Italy. So we can still go and visit that if you so wish. I've been going through the book here, Leaning Towards Easter, it's called. It's just a kind of help for going through Lent. And there's a bit in here about Thomas. And I'd like to read it. It's quite long, but if you can imagine, it's an imagined story based on John 21 that we've just read, but it's Thomas speaking.
most of my life, they've called me twin. My own people in Aramaic and the Gentiles in Greek. I suppose it was the most obvious thing about me. And the next most obvious, that my twin is missing. He died when I was 16. Fishing accident. Small boat, big storm. I lived, he didn't. Before that, we each had our own names, but we were always together. We were the twins. Then, after he died, I felt like half a person, less than half. Couldn't get close to anyone else. If you're a twin, you'll understand the intimacy of sharing a womb and a crib, of being together always, learning to walk, sharing thoughts with little need for speech, fighting sometimes, feeling each other's pain, closer than husband and wife, some people say. After my other half died, I carried on fishing with the others. We'd grown up together. But when you've been that intimate with someone, everyone else seems a bit distant. I didn't know what they were thinking. They didn't know what I was thinking. And I avoided telling them. And then Jesus came along. Something about him, he seemed to know me. Sometimes he said things, and it was like this light switched on. Sometimes we used to go fishing at night. We'd go out in the boats and light a lamp. When we held it over the water, we could see the tops of the waves, and the fish below rushed into the light, hundreds of them. The water teemed with life. The effect Jesus had on people was a bit like that light. He made everything come alive. But then he'd say something else, and I wouldn't get it. He might as well have been talking Egyptian. Mind you, it was the same with all of us who followed him around, 7 of us fishing friends and the rest. We gave up our boats to follow him around the country, stayed close to him, thought we were getting to know him, and then he'd say something which made no sense to us, made us uneasy, scared too. Some of them got closer to him. I always felt on the edge, though I would have died for him. He told us he was the way, and I kind of believed him, though I didn't understand. The way we were following seemed very up and down, very forward and back. He told us he was the resurrection and the life. And then he died, like my twin died, only more horribly. And he needn't have died, not Jesus, not then. At the very least, he could have stayed away from Jerusalem. After a few days came rumors of his resurrection, first from some women, then from my old fishing friends. They said he'd breathed on them. No, it was nothing like a ghost. Warm breath, holy breath, the breath of life. Think of God breathing life into Adam, they told me, their eyes shining. His breathing had brought them alive, truly alive, when they'd not even been dead. I thought they were dreaming foolish wishes. I, of all people, knew that the dead didn't come back to life, however much you miss them. I told them that for a whole week. They were going crazy. I was going crazy. His death had been dreadful enough. But the torture of this ridiculous hope. No, I don't see. Give me proof. Proof that I can touch, I yelled, feeling more on the outside than ever. And then suddenly, there he stood, right in the middle of us, evidently having found a way through locked doors as well as death. He stood there saying, "Peace," in his familiar voice. Peace. My mind, everything I thought I knew, had just been blown apart. He showed me the nail marks in his hands, big ones. "Come closer, twin," he said. "Put your finger here." I demanded proof of something touchable, so I couldn't refuse. But how my hand shook as I obeyed. Then he lifted up his robe and asked me to do something even harder. I saw the gaping hole in his side where the Roman sword had pierced him to the heart. Put your hand in my side, twin, he said. Can you imagine anything more intimate, even for someone who has been a twin? I touched the risen Christ, touched him on the inside. From that moment, I've known him not just as a man who shone a light and said amazing, puzzling things. I know him as my Lord and my God. Know him in worship and in friendship. Know him as the resurrection and the life. Know that he really is the way to teeming life for all who come to him. Astounding that he invited me to touch him in that way. Unique, changed me utterly. I've travelled far to Parthia, Persia, and further east. You find me here in Edessa. I sense there's not long to go before my resurrection and that of my twin, before we see him again face to face. I've told so many about him in Greek and Aramaic, seen him draw close to them, become more intimate than any twin. They know him, though they've never seen him with their eyes. I was blind, but they see him, and he touches them as he touched and touches me. You know what he told me on that astonishing day 30 years ago. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Spend some intimate moments with Jesus, who alone makes any of us whole. Jesus showed understanding and forgiveness to Thomas and also to Peter, and he drew them to himself. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In the reading in 1 Peter, you find that Peter talks to the believers who have not seen Jesus about the living hope we have through Jesus' resurrection. He talks about an inheritance we have that cannot perish, spoil, or fade, which is kept in heaven for us through faith. Peter says we rejoice that although there are some trials now which serve to prove the genuineness of your faith is greater worth than gold. But this may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is finally revealed in his second coming. And this applies to us as well. Though you have not seen him, you loved him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So what can we learn from Jesus' meeting with Thomas that we can apply to our lives? Thomas changed after this personal experience with Jesus. And we all need a personal experience with the resurrected Jesus so that our lives will be changed by his Spirit. And we become committed disciples and see Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And secondly, we find that Jesus comes to meet us where we are as individuals, with all our questions or doubts. You come to him as we are. And thirdly, we found that Jesus gives us all that we need to follow him. He gives us the Holy Spirit as our guide, and he gives us his authority to follow and to do his will. Jesus says we are blessed if we have not seen him, yet we believe in him. And in John 20:31, it says there that these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May we all have this life-changing experience with the resurrected Jesus that Thomas had, so that we may become a new creation in Christ. Let us pray. Father, may we have this life-changing experience by meeting Jesus for ourselves and have the Holy Spirit change us from within. Guide us each day by your Holy Spirit, that we may be worthy followers of Jesus with an inheritance in heaven. Amen. Now we'll stand to sing together hymn 189, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. We'll continue our worship with the offering.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we acknowledge that all we have comes from you, and we pray that you'd bless these gifts from your people and use them to extend your kingdom and glorify your name. Amen. Now we've got to come before God in prayer. Let's pray for others. God of resurrection, we give thanks that death could not hold your Son, and that through Jesus we are given new birth into a living hope. We thank you for joy beyond words, for faith refined through trial, and for the inheritance kept for us in your love. Receive our praise, because you are faithful and your promises endure. We thank you that you appeared to your disciples and gave proof of your resurrection as they hid behind locked doors. Thank you for satisfying their doubts and for appearing to hundreds of others before ascending to heaven. Thank you also for sending the Holy Spirit to be with us permanently and help us to live for Christ. God of peace, we pray for all who live behind locked doors today, those burdened by fear, grief, or uncertainty. Bring comfort where there is suffering, hope where faith is tested, and peace where hearts are troubled. Strengthen your church to be a faithful witness, sent into the world as Christ was sent, bearing signs of resurrection life. We thank you, God, that you understand our doubts, and as with Thomas, you want to answer and help us overcome these doubts. You know what's in our hearts, and you care about the needs of the world and its people. We ask that we would continue to enjoy peace and freedom from war and oppression as a nation, and that we will all put our trust in you. We ask that you would bring peace and safety to the war-torn places of the world, and bring lasting peace especially to Ukraine and the Middle East. We pray that the short-term ceasefire between US and Iran will hold, and that a permanent peace will follow. We pray for all those working to bring peace and reconciliation, and pray that they would be gifted with wisdom from you. We pray for the royal family and all those in government, that they would put their trust in you. We pray for the leaders in our church and those who work among our young people. Also for those who support the church and its activities in various ways. May they experience your enabling blessing and wisdom in all that they do. We pray for the many who grieve here today through various forms of losses. In their sorrow and loss, speak words of compassion and restoration, either directly through your Spirit or through other people. Bless those who are lonely, sad, fearful, or in despair, and comfort them by your Spirit. We pray for faith. Almighty and eternal God, our eyes cannot see you, our hands cannot touch you. You are beyond the understanding of our minds. Yet you have breathed your Spirit into our hearts. You have formed our minds to seek you, inclined our hearts to love you, called us to be heirs of your eternal kingdom. Give us faith to lay hold of things unseen, to live as those who see the invisible God. And send us forth this day with the joy that no one can take from us, the life which is your life, and the hope that gives strength to our actions. And may we experience the power of the Holy Spirit with us in every step we take. Amen. Now we'll sing together as we come to a close. Hymn number 458. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. May the blessing of God our Father, the love of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And may we know his grace and peace this day and always.